you know, figure that out, right?
Yeah, it would have been, so they didn't do it. Penelope goes full, like, no more wire hangers, and then very explicitly uses wire hangers.
Yes, yes, and that was sort of a fun Mommy Dearest reference. If you've never seen Mommy Dearest, it's great. And it's, like, all about what an abusive mother Jane Crawford was. That's what that movie's about. And it's, like... And also the way they made Penelope look even was sort of Jane Crawford-esque in that movie. So that was kind of cool.
They haven't like leaned into a reference like that in a long time. So it was nice to see.
I agree. Absolutely. And also just like, it gave that actor who plays Penelope a lot to do.
Yeah. She didn't come through any walls, which was a missed opportunity because I was looking for it.
Pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO Riverdale. XO
Riverdale.
I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
And today we're going to be discussing Chapter 103, The Town, because this is your favorite Riverdale fan podcast hosted by two adults who really should know better by now, but here we are, week after week, with this project that has lasted way longer than we thought it would.
Yep.
Follow us on, you know, social media. Subscribe to us if you like what you hear. Hit that subscribe button right now on your podcatcher so you can catch us with every new episode, every recap, every bonus Adam Sandler adjacent episode that we do. It's funny, you know, this is a project that's lasted us way longer than we thought it would. And it also seems like the cast of the television program Riverdale did not expect it to last this long either.
No, they did not.
This week, there was an interview with Cole Sprouse that was interesting. It had a few interesting points, but the main one that interests us is that Cole Sprouse thinks that they have one more season left in them than they'd really all like to call it a day, but specifying that they're all really proud of their work on the show. It's just that they'd like to wrap it in a bow and say goodbye to it, which seven seasons seems perfectly good for a show like Riverdale.
Yeah, it seems too long.
Yes, quite frankly, it seems too long. Absolutely. The other thing that was mentioned in the interview is that apparently Cole Sprouse, to keep himself engaged, chain smokes, is just constantly smoking, which just made me think, ugh, that guy must smell.
He's probably is looking to die sooner.
I guess so. And it kind of made me feel bad for like all the women he's had to kiss on the show.
Oh yeah.
Because he's probably El Stinko all the time.
Yeah.
Like they probably give him some of that breath spray, but who knows how well it works, because if he's just he's like sweating nicotine if he's smoking all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds gross.
Ugh. Anyway. That's the main thing I wanted to bring up regarding any Riverdale fan news for this week.
Yeah, I've got a couple things. I did just remember another thing with very few details, which is that someone not involved in the cast was like Sunday spotted on Des Moines at AJ from Riverdale's concert. And I don't remember who it was, but the AJ part is what stuck with me.
Oh, yes. AJ Appa, who plays Karchi on the show.
Yep. Yep.
Oh man, okay.
Yep. And then we got two movie news, which is that Cole Sprouse's movie Moonshot came out on HBO Max this weekend.
I saw the preview for Moonshot in between like watching I believe the episode of the show last week on the CW app, and I said to myself, who's that cute guy? He looks so cute. And then realized much later that it was Cole Sprouse.
Yeah.
He looks very different.
Yeah, and I like Lana Condor, and I put the movie on, but let me tell you, did not pay attention.
Also, you're a real, you know, not to go too off topic with this podcast, because we're very focused always when we do this, but you're a TV movies in the background person while you do other things. And I'm like, I'd rather be on my phone, just focusing on my phone or watching TV, but I'm very rarely going to do both at the same time type of person. So you having it on in the background and not paying attention is really not a reflection on you or on the movie. Like, I feel like it's how you function, you know?
There are shows that I do give like my full attention to, including Riverdale, but it was just like
begrudgingly Riverdale.
Yeah. I was just like lying in bed on Sunday, like waiting, or on Saturday, just like waiting for baseball games to start, and was like, sure. And then didn't watch it.
Yeah. Any other big news?
Yeah, we got a poster for a movie starring Cody Kearsley.
Oh, Cody, our old pal.
Yeah, and the movie is called Shadow of the Rougarou, Rougarou, one word.
I believe that is pronounced the way that you said it, because you did your research before the podcast. It's pronounced Rougarou. Do we know what the movie's about?
No, he just posted on Instagram that like a screening went well, and I saved the Instagram post and then did nothing with that information.
I'm looking it up on the internet really quickly right now.
All right, well, luckily I just spelled it for you, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know. Okay, it's a TV miniseries.
Great.
So it is not a movie, it's a TV miniseries.
He said movie, so that's on him.
Okay, that's crazy. That he thinks it's a movie? Oh, that's interesting. It's a Métis horror series. That's cool. So, oh, cool. And actually, I think this program looks really interesting. Yeah, so it's an 1800s Métis horror series. And Mischief, Cree, and more, indigenous languages are spoken in it. So I think that's quite cool. I might give that a shot if I can find it. It looks like it's Canadian.
Yeah.
I might give it a shot if I can find a way to watch it here. Because that hits a lot of my, you know, representation, horror, historical. It sounds kind of cool. Anyway, yeah. I'm thrilled that he's working. He's so, that actor's so dope, and he's so misused in Riverdale.
Most people are misused in Riverdale. Also, thinking of it, I feel like it was Dylan Sprouse who was at AJ Apa's concert.
Really? Oh, this just, it just gets better and better and better.
It does. Like, oh,
did they,
man,
at least spell Dylan Sprouse's name right? Or do they call him, like...
No idea.
Sprillin. Oh, AJ, our favorite actor from Riverdale. Speaking of AJ, let's get into the town, chapter 103. What do you think of this one?
I like barely wrote anything. Like, I'm just not, to be fair, I'm like kind of sick, but also it just wasn't.
Yes, to Kate's credit, she's a little under the weather. She's tested negative twice, and we're doing this over Zoom. So no one COVID shame Kate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I think that there's sort of pros and cons to them really leaning into these kind of fantastical elements. I think the pros are that they're not making any excuses anymore for anything. And I do think the plots are moving a little faster, which I like. It does feel like there's a little more life in the show than the past few seasons.
Yeah.
I would argue. The cons are that it creates an environment where anything goes, which makes it feel like the stakes are a little lower. Like, you know, is Hiram going to come back as a ghost in two episodes and possess Veronica? Like, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, they don't have to stall to figure out how they're going to explain what they already did.
Yeah.
But it does mean they could just say whatever they want.
Yes, exactly. But you know what? I actually think compared to, like, not the Rivervale event, which was kind of its own thing, but the past few seasons previous, I'd actually prefer this, I'd say. I'd say this is more fun, at least as a viewer and also as a recapper of this show, than maybe anything has been for me since the end of season one.
Yeah. This is like, if this had picked up around like season four, that would have been perfect.
Yeah, we may be a little less tired and salty. You know, yeah, we might be more like, oh, we support these choices. So yeah, so I'm going to give the show the benefit of the doubt. So let's get into it. So Jughead can now hear everybody's thoughts before they come out because he's psychic, which for him is a little strange, but it does allow him to communicate and not have anybody know that he's psychic. And to me, this felt a little like a cop-out. But then I did think they did some interesting things with it, so it wasn't the end of the world. Archie's invulnerability has nothing to do with this episode, though, which is so funny.
Yeah, no, it did not come up at
also, all. Also, a reminder, just want to remind everyone, Betty is a character in this show. Just wanted to say it.
Yep, I... Later, at one point, wait, where is Betty?
I was going to put Betty on the top of my power list as a joke, and then she came in at the end, and I was like, okay, whatever.
I wrote, where's Betty, moments before she walked in.
Totally. So then this expose gets published in, you know, the Riverdale Truth, you know, that is emailed anonymously that says that Riverdale's the worst town. And I was like, it is.
Like, did you really even have to publish it? Like,
yeah, like the fact that everybody's up in arms about this, I was like, no, like this town has a lot of problems all the time. Like, this is a rough fucking place.
Yeah, like later in the episode, it's like, hey, Alice, remember when your daughter was murdered in town?
Exactly. And she's like, I'm so offended by this. And it's like, honey. Like, I still feel bad for you about this, you know?
Yeah.
But then, what's the thing that is the thing that they criticize the most? And it's this casino. Which is like, really? The casino's the big problem here?
Yeah. I don't even know, man. It just, yeah. And then, like, also, like, jumping to, like, kind of the next scenes is that, like, as talking about moving the plot along, Britta understands magic, no questions.
Yeah, they're really making Britta, and this is not a praise, this is a criticism. She's becoming like kind of a Mary Sue, where she could just sort of do whatever she wants in the show, and not giving her, you know, a lot of motive other than like that she's trying to help Cheryl, you know?
Yeah. And also, she does so many things with Nana Rose, who, if the plot point was that Nana Rose was making shit up, I'd be like, clearly.
Totally. Like, if the plot point was like, oh, well, this older woman is somewhat senile, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But instead, we get a Nana Rose in this episode who's probably the most lucid that she's ever been on the show.
Yeah.
And also, her character motivation from the last few episodes has completely shifted. All of a sudden, Nana Rose is like, oh no, Cheryl, what have we done? And it's like, you fucking did, you old crone.
You did it, yeah.
I also just want to backtrack a moment to the town hall meeting where someone is very mad that Riverdale has no culture. Do you remember that?
And there was someone in that meeting who was like, loving every minute of it. Like, he was sitting like to the right, and like anytime someone was like up in arms, he was like fully like,
you know, he was extras moment, extra, you know what I mean? Like,
he was happy to be there, man. Good for him. I think if I didn't live in Riverdale and I was at a town meeting that did that, I'd be that into it too. Like, what the fuck is happening? This is great. And the Veronica stands up and gives the worst justification of her casino humanly possible.
Well, it's because the casino is cuckoo bananas. And we've talked about this before on the show, is that running an illegitimate casino is absolutely completely counterintuitive to opening a casino, because all of the games of chance that are in a casino, just the odds are such that you're going to make money hand over fist at a casino, and you're always going to be in good shape as long as you have the ability to run a casino. So this whole casino plot, like, most people know that. Most people know that that's the case. Like, casinos don't need illegal shit to be happening under their auspices to be highly profitable. It's actually one of the reasons why a lot of business people go into casinos, is that it's just like, it's a totally winning situation. It's always economically works out really well. So like this whole,
and they're super closely regulated. So like,
yeah, closely regulated as well. Yeah. Totally good point.
So they have to be careful.
And you know, and I mean, it fudges with, it's Riverdale, so I get it. But I believe that casinos in New York State, now that we know that Riverdale's confirmed to be in New York State, the casinos, I believe in New York State, are only allowed to be on reservations. I believe. You know, like, that's a deal that's been made.
Right. And Tony is not interested in this. So, and she's the token native person. So.
Totally. Yeah. But anyway, this is all crazy. And then it gives them the excuse to say, I believe the words scam and side hustle, like 70,000 times in this episode.
It's so, like, weird.
That nice actor who plays Reggie, what's his name again?
Charles Melton.
Yes, Charles Melton. Lovely Charles Melton. Like, I'm sure he's reading through the script being like, how am I going to say these words differently every single fucking time?
Like, he's dropped his weird accent.
Yes, he has.
And, like, so at this town meeting, then, like, Pickens, who, the British man who, like, wrote the letter, is trying to, like, get rid of the homeless people. And, like, he gives a solution that, like, first of all, every solution, including Archie's, is a bad solution that has been tested and does not work out. But Archie's initial solution...
Is it true that the miniature housing isn't a good situation for...
It hasn't worked. You need more support systems around it than just the house. The houses get destroyed instantly.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, like,
And, like, the people who, like, don't need as much support, who just need the housing, tend to be families who, like, don't fit in them.
Yeah, who don't fit in them. Yeah, that
makes sense. It's just, like, not great. But Archie's originally plan is just to straight up fight Pickens. So,
well, I guess the housing is okay. That is something that I wanted to mention, is just, like, Archie, the shit that they let Archie get away with, and I don't want to draw too close of a comparison to a certain pop cultural event that may have happened last week at the Oscars that we've already talked about. Like, I'm not trying to do that, but it was just sort of, it was on my mind watching the scene that in, like, a very public forum in this town, Archie basically said to Percival Pickens, I'm going to punch you in the face. And, like, no one around him was like, this guy needs help. This is a problem. He doesn't know how to solve his problems. Let's get him into some anger management, you know? And, like, him being portrayed as a brawler, I think is pretty boring at this point. Like, I don't think it's adding anything to the character. But once again, I do sympathize, because I do feel that Archie is really hard to write for, and they're trying to give him something, and I understand that. Like, I get that. It's hard.
I also feel that... Bussing homeless people out, like Percival suggested, is really good. Like, now that he's bussed them out, that's going to be the end of it, and it's going to seem like a really viable plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Which, yeah, is awful. Maybe the homeless people will come back. Maybe that'll be a plot line later on in the season. I mean, I'd love that if they came back and they were like, this is our town too, Percival. I hate you. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but it's Riverdale.
Yeah, it's Riverdale, so they're probably gone forever. Bye, yep, Sketch Alley. Really,
those tiny houses are really going to work out in Riverdale. And then it's going to be, like, brought up by some intern at, like, a local community board. And someone's going to fund it through, like, their billionaire backing money that, like, they won mayor because they're the only one that ran, and now they're going to put all this money into it, and it's not going to do shit. And then they're still going to blame the homeless people and say, like, it's not going to be their fault that they...
And as really with most large societal ills in larger cities and places that have, lot of problems that need to be solved, Riverdale is to blame.
Yeah.
As per usual. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, thus began the war, the battle for Riverdale's soul.
Thus began the battle for Riverdale's soul. So fucking... So then we get this scene with Nana Rose where she has this, like, she switches on her remorse for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then we learn that Cheryl is trapped in sort of this weird dreamland with Penelope and Jason. And I kind of like this only because it was kind of unclear what was going on at the beginning, and it forced you to be an active watcher and put together the pieces.
Yeah.
And the looks of, the look of these scenes was very strange and dreamlike in a way that I thought was fun for the show. So I did like this.
Yeah, they were interesting. They were well done. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the deal is that Britta has to go into Cheryl's dreams and, like, extract her.
Yes,
and,
but
like,
none of that makes a lick of sense.
No. I was gonna say, like, Inception, but... No?
No. Also, like Inception, also like Nightmare on Elm Street 3, where, like, one of the characters sort of out of the blue, it's like, oh my gosh, you have the ability to go into other people's dreams. Like, and it kind of felt like that. It was like, well, if you lie close enough to her because you were possessed, you can go into her dream. And it's like, oh, okay, guys.
Yeah, and instead of explaining that, we then find out that Veronica wants Riverdale to be the new Atlantic City, and Pickens wants Riverdale to be the new Marsha's Vineyard.
Yes. And then also, just let's remember that in this world, Betty and Veronica are still very close. And in this world, Veronica's been really sweet to Betty, you know, like after, you know, Betty's experienced a lot of tragedy. Veronica's been there for her. And we've seen instances of that in the show. And then here's Alice during this perfectly, like, legit business presentation, just being such a fucking bitch to Veronica, whose dad just died. It just sucks. It's bad writing.
She's right that, like, from a branding standpoint, they gotta drop Lodge. But that's, like, a later in the process consideration. Like, it's not Veronica's fault.
Make your business name Veronica Luna or whatever. Like, no big deal, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, that was just... once again, they just let Alice... they write Alice however they want on the show, and Alice just does... that character is completely inconsistent.
Yeah.
I was, like... It felt really cruel in a way that, you know, made me upset. Mm-hmm. And then we're supposed to have sympathy for Alice in, like, three episodes when she's, like, talks about, you know, fucking, you know,
Polly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway.
Where are the twins?
The twins have died. The twins are skeletons in their house sitting there gathering cobwebs the same way that Mrs. Applebaum died. Remember when they locked Mrs. Applebaum in the fucking thing, and then we didn't hear from her for like 12 episodes?
Yeah, I just thought of them right now.
Totally.
And it seems like maybe Alice did too.
Totally.
So Archie asks Tony and Tabitha to, like, underwrite the microhomes, which is like, I forgot this happens because that is, like, basically exactly what I was explaining, which is that millionaires are going to pat themselves on the back. I mean, they're not millionaires, but people are going to pat themselves on the back
funders.
For it.
Funders. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And they're going to, like, think they did their part.
Yes.
And just, like, throw money at it, and it's not going to do anything.
Yes.
And then someone's hanging in the casino.
Yes.
Just someone.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And then, like, oh, what did I have here? Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the only other thing that is kind of, you know, them doing some write arounds is, you know, it's very clear that Archie, you know, wants to have this meeting with Percival, right? And I'm kind of surprised that Jughead isn't like, I will tag along with you. I will do this with you. Without even having to tell Archie that he's psychic, but it would have been really great for Jughead to, you know, figure that out, right?
Yeah, it would have been, so they didn't do it. Penelope goes full, like, no more wire hangers, and then very explicitly uses wire hangers.
Yes, yes. And that was sort of a fun Mommy Dearest reference. If you've never seen Mommy Dearest, it's great. And it's like all about what an abusive mother Jane Crawford was. That's what that movie's about. And it's like, and also the way they made Penelope look even was sort of Jane Crawford-esque in that movie. So that was kind of cool.
They haven't like leaned into a reference like that in a long time. So it was nice to see.
I agree. Absolutely. And also just like, it gave that actor who plays Penelope a lot to do.
Yeah, she didn't come through any walls, which was a missed opportunity because I was looking for it.
Also, like, she's in a dream, so, like, she should have, like, weirdly, like, you know,
entered
emerged
through a wall.
Through a wall, like, almost like Freddy Krueger or something. Absolutely.
And once again, congrats to the actor who plays Jason.
I know, line number two for the whole series.
It's so great for him, because especially where, like, all these people are, like, super done with doing it, he, like, hops in, like, once a season and, like, gets bank and then, like, leaves, like, congrats.
I know, absolutely. It's a great little job for him.
He's the one who hopes Riverdale never ends.
Totally. Then I just want to comment on the scene with all the men of Riverdale going through the sketch alley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a very kind of obtuse and weird 3 second long, like, manly version of the Riverdale theme that played as they were walking through that I just feel is of note because it was somewhat incongruous aesthetically to the rest of the show.
Yeah. And then Kevin gets fully attacked with a hammer.
Kevin gets attacked with a hammer. I was like, what the fuck did Kevin ever do to you, Doc? You know?
It's so wild.
I know. It's so...
And then like, yeah, I don't know, man. And then Tony sends her payment through Chime, which I thought was a fun little product placement. Chime, Chime, Chime. Send your money through Chime.
What? Is Chime another app for money
sending?
Yeah,
it's like Venmo.
I didn't know that Chime existed. I thought Chime was like their version of Venmo.
No, Chime is like a real thing.
Okay, cool.
I've never used it. I just assume it's like Venmo, but it could be closer to Zelle. I have no idea.
This is my first time hearing about it because I'm an old man, but now I'm going to download it. So.
Are you? Okay.
No.
So we find that, like, Pickens is, like, maybe talked that guy into suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only important because on Tuesdays, which is when we're recording this, is when new episodes of The Girl from Plainville comes out. So it was, like, on my mind.
Oh, great. Is The Girl from Plainview a show about someone who can talk people into killing themselves?
It's about, like, it's based on that true story. A few years back, that girl, like, texted her boyfriend into killing himself.
Oh, my God.
She has very severe eyebrows.
Oh, my God. That's like me. I have severe eyebrows.
Yeah,
but I'm nice. Like, I never do that. I'm nice. I'm not crazy.
No, and her eyebrows are, like, very specific. So, like, the case happened, and then there was, like, a documentary, and then, like, now there's a show that's, like, stars Elle Fanning and Chloe Sevigny. So
Sevigny.
Sevigny, really?
Yes.
And Aya Cash, she's doing like everything she chose.
Oh, love it.
It's not great, but it's on.
Then then we got our first scene where not yet, but I am gonna just mention it here. This is when they decide Veronica and Reggie, after the hanging guy hung himself, to get Geraldo involved. Abuelita's Iceman.
Yep.
And, you know, just want to say, Geraldo, total new absolute smoke show of this season. Oh my God, that guy.
Yeah.
What a dude they have hired. He can be in every episode and every scene as far as I'm concerned. Va-va-voom. Yeah.
Yep. And we find out that, like, so Pickens probably did talk that guy into suicide because he also... bewitched, I believe was the word they used, Doc, into attacking Kevin.
Yes.
And we find this out because Jughead is like doing the thing where he's listening to Pickens' thoughts, and Pickens like, I know you're in my head. And so now that's like a whole thing.
So Pickens clearly has some sort of supernatural powers as well, superpowers. Yeah. I'm kind of curious if Pickens is just going to end up being Satan.
I was thinking, because when he first came, I was like, is this like Dr. Cypher again?
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
It feels kind of Satan-y, right? He feels sort of Satan-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's definitely like the big bad guy, and I think that's totally okay.
Yeah, it's nice to have not Hiram be the big bad.
Yeah, despite the fact that a lot of the stuff he's doing is just Hiram's old playbook, just through the mouth of another actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Britta and Cheryl figure out how to beat Dream Penelope, and that's by being sexy.
It's too much. Too much for Dream Penelope. Yeah, and can you just clarify for me this definition of what's this definition of wise guy?
In what context?
Like in the context of Reggie and then later Geraldo being like, I'm gonna get my wise guys involved. My wise guys. I've got some wise guys. We'll be able to promote the casino by getting these wise guys. So that's some sort of mafia thing, right?
Yeah, it seems like just the phrase of, like, I got a guy, but they decide to throw wise in there to, like, try and, like, date it a little, but it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't quite figure out, yeah, exactly what that deal was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then Archie...
Pickens is going to be a cop now.
Oh yes. I'm going to get to that. Yes.
Okay. Cause
ACAB. There, yeah. I said it on the show. Sorry. But Archie punched the side of a truck, the side of his truck. Cause he was so mad that the little house got drawn on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
That was the extent of Archie's superpower, was punching a truck.
Yes, totally. And then also, I want to talk about the meeting a little bit more with Pickens and Jughead, where Jughead was like, you know, he did the saying, you can only tell the worth of a society by its most vulnerable members and how they're treated.
Yeah.
And then how Pickens like said something really flip back to it. And like, I felt like Jughead like read him. Jughead was like, it's Gandhi, bitch. Like, it's Gandhi, you fucking idiot. Like, and I loved Cole Sprouse's reading of that line. Like, I thought it was great. Anyway, also, just with this Britta subplot, I'm worried Britta's going to take too many drugs and get addicted to sleeping pills, which would be no good for her.
Well, we haven't seen Fizzle Rocks in a while, so.
That's true. That's true. Anyway, yeah, I felt like that whole, the way that all resolved with her and Cheryl was quite satisfying. So I like that a lot.
Yeah. So Betty comes back, and every time she describes it, she is just straight up having migraines.
Yes.
Like, people get auras with migraines sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, that is like a symptom of a migraine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just getting migraines and not doing anything about it.
Yes. Yeah. Which, but also migraines are really hard to control anyway. And if it's new for her, I understand why this would be kind of a scary thing for her going through.
I switched migraine medicine a few months ago. And if people out there are looking for tips, like, I will sell this stuff because it's the best. But
nice.
I won't do it on air because no one's paying us.
Yeah. DM Kate on Twitter and she will tell you. Yeah. Totally. And then we sort of get this end to the episode
with the Charlie Day board.
Before the Charlie Day board, it's very clear that they are setting up here a like kind of a Justice League type situation, like a little super team, which is fun because, you know, all of the Archie characters do have, you know, we talked about this on the show before, do have superhero alter egos in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And with Percival being kind of this super villain, this big baddie here.
Yeah.
So I like that. But then I really don't like this move for Veronica, for her to be like, Well, this one little pitch that I made didn't really work. So what that means is that now, instead of looking for investors for my casino or, you know, figuring out a different business plan, because she's so savvy at business, she's like, well, I guess we just have to be corrupt then. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a disappointing move.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm wondering if maybe Percival is a ghost? I wonder if Percival, or if Percival's the reincarnation of General Pickens. I'm wondering if they're being a hint towards that.
Yeah, maybe.
Just sort of the way he's behaving, he's being very old school in a way that...
Yeah.
And like, very like, I'm the colonizer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm wondering. And then, yeah, and then, you know, we got our final scene, which was the Charlie Day board.
Yep, the Charlie Day boards are back, baby!
The Charlie Day boards are back, baby, yeah. And we'll see what Percival's big plan is. And that was the end of this episode that, you know, was fine.
Yep.
So, Kate, who was on your power list? Other than Betty, obviously.
Obviously Betty. Obviously Bingo.
Yes.
I have Percival Pickens.
Yep.
Abigail.
Okay, yep.
And literally no one else.
Okay. I have, similar-ish list, Britta.
Okay.
Who's never made the list before, so congrats to Britta. Mm-hmm. Percival.
Yep.
And then Dream Penelope. Just because she was so, you know, she was so big and controlling in this episode.
Yeah.
Who's on your crush list?
The Iceman and Reggie, and also that's it.
Yeah. I had a hard time this episode. I feel like I'd like the show to... I might really be backing myself into a corner by saying this, and I might not really mean it, but I kind of want the show to get a little sexy again, a little sexier.
Ooh.
But when it does get sexier, it sometimes makes me really mad the way it gets sexier, so...
Yeah.
But regardless, Geraldo, number one on my list. What a cutie. Who you had, too. And then I have... Silver Daddy. Doc. Just, let's get Doc in there this episode. What a cutie.
Great.
And then, last but certainly not least, just because I like her and she's cute and lovely... Tabitha.
Great.
Totally. So next week, what's going on?
The Serpent Queen's Gambit.
Oh, the Serpent Queen's Gambit, based on, you know, the title. Gambit. The King's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit.
The Queen's Gambit, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I hope it's all about chess.
Yep.
Chess. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. On a personal note, Kate and I both ended up seeing Sparks last week. It was great.
It was a blast.
If Sparks is coming to your town, go see them. They're
legends. They're Europe now. And I know we have like a huge European following.
We have a largest European following. Yeah, so they're in Europe.
Surprisingly large, yeah.
Yep, Sparks is in Europe, where they belong.
Truly.
If you don't know about the band Sparks, this is just a little like... side hustle recommendation. Watch the awesome Edgar Wright documentary about Sparks. It's on Netflix. It's called The Sparks Brothers. Riverdale fans would love Sparks. There's a lot of crossover.
Famously, they were on Gilmore Girls.
Yes. So there's a lot of connections, clearly.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening to this podcast. If you like what you're listening to, you know, please, once again, interact with us on social media. We're happy to chat with you about your theories about the show. And, you know, subscribe and like everything. Thanks to Anjali Mercado, our just wonderful editor for this show.
She's so good.
Yeah.
And Louis Aronowitz, who wrote our theme song,
is
also very good.
Absolutely. And we will see y'all next week. Thanks for listening to another episode. Bye.